wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ here with you at 713-780-3776. I am doing the show from home because nobody would want to use that microphone, Lance, after I used it today. So back here in Houston, but doing it from home, and because I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I don't like to use the H word. I'll use the W word. Warrior. Okay,
fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
That's it. That's so fair. Doing the show from home, but we got plenty to talk about today as we go into the second half of our Mets series, facing Carrasco again tonight, Lance, after beating him up in game one, really starting off this series against New York, the 9-game series against the Mets and the Yankees. I'm calling it 1 9-game series. And really starting it off in the right way, hitting 3 homers off him in 2 1/3. He was out after just 53 pitches, just battering him. Yordan had a big day, 2 homers. Bregman was really the start of Bregman getting out of, not the start because he's been hitting a little bit before that. But, man, Bregman seems to have turned it around and got a lot more confidence. So this was a great way to start this series against these two teams. And Carrasco's back on the mound. You expect him to be much the same way as the first game?
No. These two games are never, I don't think you'll ever see those two games necessarily ever the same. There'll be some differences. I think you go into this one with, you go into this next set of games just trying to maintain your momentum. I mean, you have momentum, even though you lost the last game of the Yankees 4-game set. I mean, there's just no denying that that's a tremendous amount of momentum that's been built out of a 2-2 split, because you basically, I was reading some threads. I'm friends with the guy, Twitter friends, with the guy who directed the Derek Jeter documentary for ESPN. We're going to have him on when it drops in July, the 30 for 30. And I was reading through his Yankee fans talking with each other, basically on one of his threads, as they were talking about the series, you know, as it was going on. And it's funny, he's trying to calm people down. People on his thread are like, this just proves again that we just can't beat the Astros. We're 2-2, but it doesn't feel like 2-2, and they dominated us. And, you know, the same way we saw it, the Yankees see it the same way. The Yankee fans know the same thing. They'll if you're chirping at one of them on Twitter or they're chirping back at you, and they're not going to say that. But trust me, they know exactly what's going on. I mean, the game was the game. We all saw it. So I think the Astros just have to ride that momentum to close out this this unusual New York trip. And it starts tonight. You got to jump back on the horse and get after it again.
Yeah, and it's fun. This is fun. Idiot Met fans are here, which are probably a different set, unless they're just extremely idiotic. When they were here last time, they were rude, they're stupid. We like the Mets, though. We like the Mets better than the Yankees. They don't say F to Altuve, although there were plenty of scathing remarks towards Altuve, as I understand it. But they're
By the way, my guy from Wilkins from that documentary, he goes, dude, I do not get that at all. Why? He goes, everything's proven that Altuve, if he benefited, it was hardly at all, and he's not the ringleader. He goes, there's guys to go after on that. And he was being honest. He goes, look, there are guys to go after on that team. I would go after Bregman. I'd go after Yuli. He said, Altuve I don't understand why Yankee fans continue to go after Altuve when he doesn't seem like he's the guy that was even really involved in that, number one. And number two, it's just completely coming back to backfire on the fans every single game. So I think there is an understanding that you do it at your own peril if you want to come after Altuve, because as soon as he hears that stuff, he just seems to sharpen his focus. I mean, that's just what happens.
Mets are coming in 47-27. The Astros are coming in 45-27. The Astros, We talked about it. You know, it looks more and more likely. They've got the Yankees have an 8-game lead over the Astros. It's one of the greatest starts, if not the greatest start in baseball history. Of course, the Astros cooled them down a little bit. Now, we'll see. They've got a tough stretch, the Yankees do. They're going to hit a lot better teams. They're going to start playing Boston and Toronto more, and they're going to have to, you know, play much better baseball. They've had a much easier run because they've had a lot more home games than the Astros have. So, 8 games is not insurmountable, but you sure would like to get that home field advantage when you have to face those guys again. That's for sure. There, you played pretty darn good. But here's the deal. I don't know about you. Has your opinion changed? I mean, I am so thrilled with the way that they've played. I'm so thrilled with how they step up. And this, you know what? This has been through over these last 6 years now that we've been watching this team. They're not afraid of any situation. They're not afraid of any the Death Star. They're not afraid of pitching a sale. But they're not afraid of – I mean, throughout these years, we've seen them, and you're just like, man, these guys just nut up. Wheelbarrows. That's what they got. They got to have wheelbarrows. And we saw that again this week. But my opinion of this baseball team, and I loved what Alex Bregman said, you know, this is a different team, and we're coming together, and we're probably going to be better as we go along. My opinion of this baseball team really hasn't changed much over these games.
Nah,
you know?
I think it's the same. I mean, look, I think I know what this team is. This team is less deep, maybe less explosive team than before, but still highly competitive, highly confident, and now more reliant on better young arms. Or better arms than in the past. There's a higher number of good arms on this team from a pitching standpoint than there is of the deepest, you know, the deep lineup. It used to be it was a really deep lineup with some good arms and then some pitchers that, you know, were up and down. Now you've got some really plus arms, like really plus arms. Even if I understand Brian Abreu has never been really all that good in the short time he's been with the Astros, but this year he's having a good year. He's a plus arm. We'll see how if he continues to throw like this. Stanek is a plus arm. Ryan Pressly, when his fastball is up at 95, 96 with one of the sharpest breaking pitches in baseball, that's a plus arm. Of course, the same thing can be said for Christian Javier, for Justin Verlander, who's been that way for a while. I think Luis Garcia has a good arm. Urquidy has a good arm. Fromber is one of the most elusive curveball pitchers in baseball, maybe the most as a left-hander. I mean, John, and that's just the guys I focused on there. They have a really deep group. It's really shifted a little bit more to where the pitching can carry you more than the hitting. That's all it is. It's the same bones of the house. You just move some walls around. That's all.
Yeah, that's
See,
all.
That's my love it or list it. I've gone to a love it or list it.
I see. You're a love it or list it
guy. I've moved some walls around.
I gotcha. So the Astros, so the Yankees are their run differential right now. They're 54-20.
Yeah.
Their run differential though is plus 148.
Sure.
I mean, and that's and nobody, but the Dodgers are plus 128. And they have the same record as the Astros. The Astros are plus 62 with the same exact record as the Dodgers. The Dodgers have scored 364 runs, while the Astros have scored 309. And the Dodgers have only given up 236, while the Astros have given up 247. And the Astros' pitching has been spectacular. The Mets are a game ahead of the Houston Astros. They have given up 298 runs. They've got Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer coming back.
Yeah.
So, wow. Wow. You know, the Astros, well, they got McCullers and Odorizzi. We'll see. DeGrom and Scherzer. Nah.
And yeah. Once again, in case you missed it yesterday, well, it wasn't yesterday. It was Saturday. Lance McCullers, one of his comments was, yeah, it felt good. You know, I threw 20 pitches in batting practice, and I threw a slider today. Oh, cool. Okay. Well, are you getting close to coming back? Yeah, through a slider, and sometime I throw curveballs on a flat
ground. Off flat ground.
On a flat ground. Like, yeah, right. It felt like check back with me in 6 weeks type of moment is what it felt like. So I am not buying into the notion that Lance McCullers is going to be back and at full go at any point this season. That's not to say Lance will never do it. I'm just saying there's too much at stake for the Astros to take chances, especially in light of the way the starting pitchers have pitched. So, they're going to, based on what Buster Olney said last week on the Wheelhouse, he believes, based on comments that he's heard from inside the organization, his quote-unquote sources, that center fielder seems to be the position they're really focusing in on, and the bullpen. So I think throwing another arm, I do expect center field and another arm. There have been other years, John, I haven't expected them to do certain things, and they maybe haven't. Click has not done it. I think Jim Crane, who is another guy who will push for some of this, I think he will fully recognize, okay, Jake Myers is just coming back from the injury. Chaz McCormick's been optioned down. McCormick is just not a contact hitter. And I mean, he's got pop, but he's not a contact hitter. And Siri had a nice run in AAA last year, early in the year. He had a nice little, he has some flashes, but Siri's not a sustainable full-time starter. And I think the Astros know now. Yeah, Jake Myers might be, but we won't know in time. So we could use another outfielder. I think an outfielder will come, and I do think they'll get another arm in the bullpen. I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to excite people. I don't think it's going to be a closer. It's just going to be an arm.
What do you think?
Maybe a lefty, in fact.
I just saw this today, that the Royals are talking about dealing Benintendi. So he's not a center fielder. He's a left fielder. Brantley to right, Tucker to center, Benintendi. You put a 300 bat in the lineup. I would love Benintendi.
That would be phenomenal.
Talk about
he's 27 now. You would have to. Now, that's going to cost you.
Yeah, but it's the contract, though.
I mean, understand.
Yeah, but
it's going to cost you in more ways than one.
Well, this has got to be the last year. I'm going to take a look at his deal. Because if it's the last year of a deal, it's less, period. It doesn't matter how old he is. They're trying to get something for him.
His age, because he's in his prime, he is going to cost you an arm and a leg from a talent standpoint and in the future from a contract standpoint.
Well, you know what, though? He takes Uncle Mike's place is what he does.
In the future. Yeah, no, that's true. That's one way to look. And you know what? Frankly, Yuli, too.
Yeah, well, Yuli's, I think that we got to see if Maticevich can hit this year. We got to see if Yordan can play first base. Would that not be huge if Yordan can move over to first base? That would be awesome. But I think Benintendi is almost Mike-like. I mean, he's white Mike. That's what he is.
Why do you care if Yordan plays first or DHs? I don't care if he plays first, just DH.
Well, right, but you got to put. It's going to cost you a lot of money to get a first baseman unless you bring him up through your system.
Yeah, but maybe you have a first baseman. Maybe you get somebody on the cheap that's a good defensive player. They're pretty good at scouting other people's rosters. So I think that Benintendi, I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I love the, when you start to think about, okay, right now he makes $8.5 million a year. He beat the Royals out in arbitration. So Benintendi makes $8.5 million. Yeah. So you can, that is Uncle Mike's number. Like, I think that's right at Uncle Mike's number.
Oh, no, Michael Mike's more than that. Michael Mike's 16.
Oh, no, he's 16 a year. That's right. I was thinking 2 years, 16, but it's 16 per year times two.
Yeah.
So, but when you add Yuli, but Yuli and Mike get to, Yuli and Mike together are going to get to 25, I think, or 26. And that is going to be,
well, this year, Yuli is 8, I think.
Well, this year, you don't worry about it. This year is no. Yeah. It's not a. You don't even sweat this.
Well,
year.
Benintendi, I don't know. I don't know what he's gonna want. But he would. I think. I don't know. I'm not saying what he thinks. But wouldn't it be great to be on a good team as opposed? He knows he was in Boston and then he went up to Kansas City, so he knows what it's like to be on a good team. You take a few less dollars. I mean, if you can sign Benintendi for about 12 a year over the next 4 years or so, I think I would do that right now. He's Uncle Mike Light. He doesn't, his OPS is not great. His slugging isn't great. But, boy, what do you want to talk about? Bat control, can hit it to all fields. He's a good left fielder.
Yeah, no, that's plenty of money. I mean, looking at the career OPS, it's not – he does not have enough numbers in the tank to – yeah, I mean, you're right. He's going to be in the teens. He'll be somewhere in the teens from a contract standpoint.
Yeah.
You're right. He will be around what Mike – what Mike gets. He might be an $18.5 million guy.
What about, though, Benintendi 17. In left, Tucker in center, Brantley in right, or Benintendi in right? You don't have a real center fielder, but you're going to get what you gain, what you lose defensively. And we've seen Kyle Tucker in center before. He can do it. What you lose defensively, you gain offensively with Benintendi in the lineup.
Yeah, I'm fine with all that. He has been in the past when he's been a full-time player, though. The concern is he's a bit of a high strikeout hitter. I don't think he's going to be the solution necessarily to anything great. But he is better than – you know what he is? He's Jake Myers, who's all grown up, and this is kind of who he is and what he is. And he's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, and he can play some defense. Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. Can run a little bit, can play some defense, has a little bit of pop. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's fine. No. He's the kind of guy that I'm just watching a highlight of Carlos Correa going yard again.
Nice. Where'd he go, Carlos?
That's fine. I like my guy for Mike for this price tag better. So I don't.
All right, when we come back, Deshaun Watson. Mike Meltzer was on with the was it the Wheelhouse yesterday?
Well, you sure you want to say Deshaun Watson? Or you want to say Houston Texans?
Well, that's it. Deshaun Watson Deshaun Watson has got the Houston Texans in trouble. So the lawsuits came out against the Texans. We'll talk about that on the other side and what this might mean for the organization when we come back right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I got to talk about my man Keith Tate over at Pro Dunk Hoops. Pro Dunk Hoops is the best. You're looking for a goal. We had one, and I got to tell you, it couldn't get any better. The boy loved it. He was out in the driveway all day. The kids were there. And now we asked Keith Tate, hey, Keith, we're going to move from this house. These people don't have any kids. They don't want it. But our neighbors, who the little boy that we really loved, Hudson, he was awesome little kid. JT loved him. And we said, can we move that goal over there? He said, absolutely. He came, and he moved the goal over to their house, and it's still sitting up there. And Hudson's been playing basketball, and his little sister's been playing basketball on it as well, and they just love it. You can lower the goal so little kids can actually enjoy it. It's the tempered glass backboard, the unbreakable rim. It's the perfect goal. Mom loves it, too, because it's got curb appeal. It's not that white basket that's slanted and it needs painting and just looks awful. It makes your house look awful. Well, that's not the case with the Pro Dunk Hoop. It never, ever, ever looks bad. It always looks great. It always looks like a brand new. ProDunkHoops.com. You want that goal? ProDunkHoops.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, John and Lance, along with RJ. And yesterday came down, right after our show, it came down that the Texans have been... We knew this was coming. Tony Busby said it was going to come. And I was wondering, when he settled those 20, you know, were the Texans involved in the settlements? And obviously not, because he had not filed. But now he has filed. And he claims that there are at least 30 women who Deshaun Watson either sexually assaulted or in some way, shape, or form had sexual. And not only that, this was a little surprising for me, Lance, was that the massage company that the Houston Texans use, that Deshaun Watson apparently has had sexual relations with multiple people in the Texans. The Texans company that they use for massage therapy.
Gentle Touch.
Is that the one that they use?
Is that what? Yeah, because yeah, there's a. It was interesting. I was following an entire Mike Meltzer, former sports talk host, who still does stuff with Mad Dog Sports Radio as a lawyer now, and he was on yesterday. Which show? Want to make sure give him credit. It was Wheelhouse or Killer Bees, RJ. Yeah. Oh, is it Vanessa and Gallant? Okay, yeah, Paul Gallant knows him from 610, so that wouldn't surprise me if they had him on. And
well, let's give him credit.
You know, yeah, absolutely. And the Texans, what did they know and when? You know, that's the question Mike Meltzer was pondering yesterday on Vanessa and Gallant when he was going through the lawsuit and, you know, reading what the lawsuit states. And I've got some thoughts on this, but here's Mike Meltzer yesterday talking about what the Texans knew and when they knew it.
Just because something is said in a lawsuit does not mean it is evidence in the legal sense of it.
Okay.
So I'm reading this, and I'm trying to figure out, like, what is the connection between the Texans and the things that have been alleged to have been done by Deshaun, right? I kind of think about it in terms of like Watergate. What did they know, and when did they know it? And in that spirit, Vanessa, there are a couple of specific dates in which Tony Busby is arguing that the Texans should have been on notice that Deshaun Watson was doing bad things to massage therapists, and they should have done something about it.
Okay, that's Mike Meltzer's first comment. The second one, it's really about who in the Texans organization, because this is going to be a very important point. Who in the Texans organization knew about it, Mike?
Like, yeah, it doesn't look good for them, I suppose, that Roland Ramirez, who works for the team, admitted to the HPD under oath that he and Jackie used to be helped secure a membership at the Houstonian for Deshaun Watson. Like, it may not look good and something that's going to draw headlines, but does it mean that either, you know, any of these people were aware of what Deshaun, you know, may have been doing? It looks weird that Deshaun Watson, per Roland Ramirez's testimony, asked the Texans for a massage table, then took it, then returned it. Like, that looks pretty bizarre. But does it mean that they knew what was happening? And so I'd really want to dig in, you know, what did the owner of Genuine Touch tell the Texans? And by the Texans, like, who are we talking about? Team security?
Right.
General manager? You know, whoever. Like, what method? Did she email them? Did she call them? Even if it's not necessarily in, like, written form, you know, a phone call could be evidence as well. What did she tell them? Same thing for Megan Weishy. She intended to tell the Texans. Did she do it? Who did she tell? How did they react?
So finally, Mike Meltzer, are the Texans, based on Deshaun Watson's behavior in this entire situation, what is their culpability?
If the Texans are aware that Deshaun Watson might be sued by a massage therapist, does that necessarily mean that they're responsible for Deshaun Watson's behavior in those massages? Maybe you could make that argument, but I think you can probably tell by the tone of my voice, it's not an easy argument to make, certainly.
That's Mike Meltzer on Vanessa and Gallant talking about the situation there. John, I'll be honest with you. I know it's I know a lot of people really want this to be one thing. Some people just want this thing to completely blow up. Others want it to, like, take heat off Deshaun or whatever. In reading this, you know, and I'm going to go through what I think legally the situation was and is, and then the common sense of it all. It's hard to get all the way there when you read what's actually being said by Tony Busby in this lawsuit. Tony Busby is basically saying, I'll read it directly. This is what Tony Busby says in the lawsuit. Lawsuit filed on Monday in Harris County accuses the team of being aware of Watson's alleged behavior during massage therapy sessions and that, quote, individuals within the organization knew or should have known of Watson's conduct. Right off the bat there, John, I think that's problematic for Tony because you're saying they either knew or they should have known. Okay, now the burden of proof on should have known is going to make it, I think, kind of tough. About the should have known part. The lawsuit states the Texans provided Watson with resources to conduct his therapy sessions, including, quote, rooms set up for him at the Houstonian Hotel, massage tables provided to him for private massage sessions, and an NDA provided to him by head of Texan security. Okay. The Texans said in a statement on Monday, since March 2021, we fully supported and complied with law enforcement and various investigations. We'll continue to take the necessary steps to address the allegations against our organization. Here's my thing, John. I think if you try to, if you look back with after Jenny Vrentis' New York Times article, after all the lawsuits that have been filed, this very, very long, you know, period, all the salacious details came out, and then you try to look back and say, oh, the Texans got him a room at, not even a room, a membership. Jack Easterby got him a membership at the, because Mike Meltzer, in his Twitter string as he's reading through everything in the actual lawsuit, is Jack Easterby helped him get a membership. He wasn't old enough, I think, to get the membership. So it was a membership, I think, under a different name. And, you know, then the training staff got him. He asked for a massage table. He got a massage table. People look at it now and go, oh, my gosh, they're complicit. They're enabling. They're helping him do all this stuff. If you just go back and you say, okay, Deshaun Watson wanted a membership at the Houstonian, that's not very crazy. I'm not old enough to have a membership. Okay, we'll help you get a membership, Deshaun. That in and of itself is not very crazy. That's Jack Easterby's part. And I'm not a Jack Easterby guy by any stretch. Would love him to be out of the organization. But I'm also just going to be honest and tell the truth about what I see here. Secondly, he goes to the team's training staff, says he wants a massage table for massages. That's not crazy. People
it's not crazy, but it was COVID.
What's
it's
that?
Not now crazy, but now, it was COVID.
That's a separate thing. The massage table's not crazy at all. That doesn't mean he's going to try to diddle people and have him pull his legs behind his head and do his funky stuff. That doesn't mean any of that. It's a massage table at the Houstonian. That doesn't sound salacious by itself at all. I don't think the league will look at that as salacious. Here's a question. The NDA, okay, now you say, all right, why an NDA for a massage? You could argue NDA because Deshaun was breaking COVID protocol. That's an easy argument. Deshaun was breaking COVID protocol, and the Texans are going to have to deal with the NFL in that. Because I'm telling you right now, the NFL was so – I had to sit in on meetings. We had mandatory meetings, and I'm at NFL Network /NFL.com. I'm not even working for a team. The team side was way harsher, and we were harsh. COVID protocol was extraordinarily serious for the NFL, and what the NFL for sure is going to get the Texans on. Now, what is this going to mean? I don't know. But they're going to get them on knowingly breaking or allowing Deshaun to break protocol. I don't see any way you can get around that if they gave him an NDA in 2021. Now, what people are going to try to argue as well, see, the Texans are enabling. They're grooming. What do you mean? The Texans gave him an NDA so he could get freaky. I don't think that's what it's going to be. But I do think it's reasonable from a common sense standpoint to say this. John, I personally think that you can say, okay, so somebody knew about, because this didn't come out in this law. Well, it may have come out in a lawsuit, but we already know from a previous report that Deshaun Watson went to the head of security and said there was a girl trying to blackmail him. He had consensual relations and she wanted to blackmail him. So right off the bat, somebody inside the building knew about it, and this guy got Deshaun Watson an NDA and instructed him that he should get her to sign an NDA. So right off the bat, we know that somebody in the Texans knew. Now, for Tony Busby, he's got to prove that other people, that the word traveled up the food chain. Now, I don't know if it did. My common sense tells me it would go to Bill O'Brien.
I talked to someone this weekend
okay. That
told me, that was in the organization, that said Jack Easterby knew everything. Everything.
Ooh.
So a couple of things can happen. We'll talk about it on the other side. 713-780-3776 if you've got some thoughts on it.
I've also heard that Jack Easterby is maybe not in the same standing inside the building as he once was.
Well, let's hope not. Right now, though, I know who's got standing at Chastang Ford, and that's Patrick and Joe Chastang, and 80-plus years of selling cars in the city of Houston and just doing it the right way. You don't last that long. And they didn't advertise before. They didn't have to. They were the number one commercial Ford dealership in the city of Houston without even putting the word out. You know, the word spreads itself between businesses. They're like, oh, man, you need a Ford car or truck. You want to customize it exactly how you want it. You want to pay the best price. You want the best service on it. You go to Chastang Ford. That's easy, okay? And businesses will tell you. Businesses, because it's all about the bottom line with businesses. okay? They're going to tell you what which dealership that you should go to. And when you're the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Ford, and you're not really one of the huge ones that advertise all the time, you're like, well, how did that happen? Well, I know how it happened. It happened by just doing things the right way. And that's just the way that they do it every single time. They're going to treat you like you're part of the Chastain. They want you to be part of the Chastain family. Patrick told me that he wants this to be a family business, and it's always been a family business, but he wants the people that buy from him to feel like they're in the family as well. And you will. They're going to work that deal as hard as they possibly can. It would be in a pre-owned vehicle, and they've got plenty of them on the lot, certified right now. If you're looking for a pre-owned vehicle, I said it multiple times. My daughter came all the way from Oklahoma City to buy her car here because it was so much better price. You go to ChastainFord.com and find that. Or you can order one for yourself at ChastainFord.com or at the dealership on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5
and 92. Let me just say something real quick about the music choice here. First of all, I love the Big Daddy Kane selection, but do yourself a favor and go to YouTube and just type in Big Daddy Kane, Smooth Operator. Really, you can do any number of songs. Just do Big Daddy Kane, NPR, is in National Public Radio, NPR, and I think it's called Tiny Room or something, where his small little, like, he does an entire set inside of what looks like a library, a tiny library room, and it is awesome. So definitely check that out if you're a Big Daddy Kane fan. So that was a segue. John, I know you're a Big Daddy Kane fan.
I love Big Daddy Kane. I know you do. I love this. This is a great sound. All right. So back to the Texans and the lawsuit. A couple of things. First, after I read the news of the weird, that Geico has to pay the woman $5 million because she had sex in the back seat of a car and she got a venereal disease. And Geico is responsible. And listen, all bets are off on lawsuits and what you're going to get from somebody, because that's just so ridiculous. Geico didn't fight it the way that they should have, and that's part of the reason why they lost the lawsuit. They just thought it was so frivolous and useless that then all of a sudden the judge said, no, you're responsible, and just ridiculous. When McDonald's had to pay that woman nearly $3 million because she spilled coffee in her lap, everybody was up in arms about $3 million. And then you watch the documentary and you go, well, they should have paid more because they just didn't care. They didn't take into account how dangerous they were with their coffee temperatures. And they would rather, instead of changing it when other people complained and got burned, instead of changing it, they just settled and said, no, we're making more on the hot coffee than changing the policy, which ended up costing them that $3 million. The Texans, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're found to be liable and responsible for what Deshaun Watson was doing, that a judge could find it reasonable, that the Houston Texans, who gave him the NDA, the Houston Texans who gave him massage, the Houston Texans who gave him a room at the Houstonian, it would not surprise me at all, although it's going to be difficult for them to prove. Even if they don't, though, even if they don't prove it, this could prove penal in the NFL. We've seen Deshaun Watson not get charged at all, and he, no build, right? And yet he's looking at an indefinite suspension right now. So if the league goes, if the league says, well, we know that these lawsuits didn't come through, and now the Texans are part of 30 lawsuits, civil lawsuits or whatever the number is, 24 lawsuits with these women, I don't care. You know what? There is, we've seen it in basketball before, in college athletics. We've seen that you don't have control of the situation. And the NFL might find that as well. And now there could be fines, and I don't care about Cal's money, but there's a possibility that you could lose draft picks here,
I think
too.
They're going to look. I think if I think skirting, intentionally skirting, I do not think they're going to find that the Texans willfully enabled enabled Deshaun Watson to molest women. I mean, it's just simply not going to be the case. And I know that's not – I'm simplifying. It's kind of not fair.
What about lack of institutional control?
What they're saying is that the Texans had an idea of this and that they should have – they should have stopped it, okay?
Yes.
That's the argument you think they can make. And I get it. And I get it. And maybe they could win that. I think it'll be hard to prove.
I don't think that they're going to win it. I don't think they're going to win the lawsuits, although it wouldn't surprise me at all. But I do think that the NFL is going to say, you know what, Texans? This was happening all on your watch. You are responsible.
Well, okay, I'm going to let you finish. But first, just let me say this. You should not have won the Grammy. I don't know if the NFL is going to come in. This is going to be interesting because the NFL right now is in the middle of trying to figure out Deshaun Watson. They're trying to figure out the Washington Commodores or Commanders or whatever the hell they are. They're trying to figure out, now they're going to have to figure out maybe the Houston Texans. I think for sure the Texans could end up getting clipped on breaking COVID protocols. Best case scenario, the league's going to say, you guys know how seriously we took it. To this day, John,
yes.
I have to wear a tracking device when I go to NFL Network. And I've only gone one time in the last 2.5 years. When I go, everybody there has to wear one of these tracking devices that manages how far you are from each other. When I went to Texans practice, not last year, but the year before in the summer, it would beep if you got within 6 feet of somebody. That's not what the NFL Network thing does, but it lets you know.
Well, you know what Deshaun's would have sounded like?
But I'm just making a point of how serious the NFL takes this stuff.
And maybe,
the Texans, if they intentionally skirted all this, they're going to lose. They're going to lose at least one draft.
Well, the NFL is going to see. It has all the information already.
They'll be fined $100K and they'll lose a draft pick for sure.
Oh, I think it's going to be more than $100K, and I think it could be a substantial draft pick as well, because let's not forget they've got, you know what, they're going to come down hard on them. If in fact, I mean, do we see teams that the NFL during COVID how they definitely were, you know, punished teams that weren't compliant if they did anything against it. Now when you look back and see, what in the heck were you guys doing? Deshaun's got dozens of women during COVID, and you guys are giving him massage tables, and you guys are giving him NDAs when he's not even supposed to be close to other people?
Yeah, that's, I mean, just a common sense argument. Yeah, you're right. That's hard to get around that. Now, that doesn't mean everything that people, there's a lot of free Deshaun Watson people who want this to, like, your guy's not going to be free. Your guy is about to get clipped for a, it's going to be indefinite. I mean, they're going to suspend him for this year, and they're going to call it indefinite, which basically gives them basically, John, this indefinite suspension that I expect to go down means he'll be gone this year. And then it gives them the entire year for new things to come out, basically additional discovery, so that they don't make a punishment and then all of a sudden new stuff comes out. This is bad for Deshaun because it's going to give the NFL more time to continue digging to make sure they get this right and they don't get it wrong. He's going to be gone for a year. That's going to happen. They're going to push, apparently came out yesterday, they're going to push for an indefinite suspension, and I think that's what's going to happen, which means it will be a year, but there's an outside chance it could be beyond that. But I think it's going to end up being a year. Now, beyond that, the Texans are, I don't think they are going to get out of this unscathed because COVID protocol is going to hit them. You're right. How else do you say that? We gave him a massage table. The Houstonian thing is going to be nothing. I'm telling you, because Deshaun Watson wanted a room at the Houstonian or wanted a membership at the Houstonian, and Jack Easterby gave it to him, that's not going to get him. However, what you, John, I think you need to reiterate what you said before. You just threw something out before the break, and you're like, Jack Easterby knew everything. All right, Chastain's got some cars for you. Like, get into that whole thing again, because that's kind
well,
of a
Well,
a
guy
deal.
Called me that was in the organization. And, well, he has signed NDA agreements.
Well,
NDA
be careful,
agreement.
Then.
He was in the organization, and so he can't say anything. But he called me, and he said, man, you just got to know. I see these lawsuits are coming up against the Texans. And he said, all of the guys, you know, they've got a little group that were all fired by Jack Easterby. And they're all, you know, they're all pretty much Jack Easterby haters. So, you know, you obviously they're biased in their opinions of what's going on. But he was like, hey, just so you know, Jack Easterby knew everything in that building. There was nothing because he made sure if you weren't on his team, if you weren't on Team Jack, you were gone. And so, and he tried to get all of these little, everybody that was, hey, will you be a little spy for us? And guys were like, what? No, I'm not telling you what guys are doing.
Bro, what?
No, yeah.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious. Yeah, no, I'm
Jack
not doing that.
Jack looking to plan a snitch?
He planted snitches all over. The guy told me, he said, they asked me to do that, and I said,
you know
no.
What they're called? What are
these
they
guys
called?
Trust me, I'm not going to do that. What? No.
What are they called? The pigeons? No. God, he's so Lord Varys. This is unbelievable. Well, see, Dell would know this right now. What are Lord Varys' little minions? What did he call them?
I don't know.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Who he had
his little birds.
Yeah, because his little birds would tell him things. They were all over the place, and they'd tell him things. That's exact. Dude, he's so Lord Varys. This is bald-headed? Bald-headed. Has people snitching all over the place? Has people snitching all over the place? Sneaking in people's ear, trying to get to get to the throne? Same. Like, he is so Lord Varys. Just start wearing that whole big-ass monk-looking smock that Lord Varys wears. Just have the balls to wear that in the building.
You got
to
put on a little weight, and you got to cut that thing off, though.
Yeah, it's going to – yeah, I guess you do have that.
You have to cut that off.
But yeah. I wouldn't want to do that if I were him. But this could be – I'm telling you. I heard over the weekend that Jack is not necessarily in the same standing in the building / with owner. You know, ownership supposedly has been – you know, Jack is Cal and Hannah's guy. I heard maybe it's not the same level of love as it once was. I mean, eventually, there's enough – you get enough people around who are not the same sycophants, and enough people come around that have different points of view and opinions, and it's going to be a case where Jack kind of gets found out, and he's already found out by most people, but – even Cal is going to start to figure some things out and find some things out. People are going to tell him, mostly Hannah. I think Hannah will be the one who will figure this out. So this could be something. This really could be interesting to see if this is some momentum to maybe push Jack out of the way and out of the building. We'll see how it goes, but it's definitely a news story. I hear people talking, you know, there's people on Twitch just, oh, the Texans and Deshaun Watson again. Guys, your professional football team is being sued. Yeah. This doesn't happen every day. And on top of that, they are likely, I think they are going to face penalty, John.
It's funny. Multiple people are, is he going to have to sell the team? Will he have to? No, he's not going to have to sell the team. We got to take a break. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-7803. If you got any thoughts you want to get in, 713-7803-776.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
How sad are you to see John Wall go?
It's a heartbreaker. I mean, it's a heartbreaker.
What was your – can you remember one play from John Wall?
Yeah, he had this spin move one time.
I actually went to a game – that year, I was like one of the only ones, right after COVID.
Yep.
Where they had like limited seating, and I went to a game and John Wall was in it. I don't remember anything.
It's funny, I was on
they lost by 40 or something.
I was on a Twitter Spaces that I think Dave Hardesty from Clutch Fans, I think he was the organizer in that one. I'm pretty sure he was. And Twitter Spaces is basically, I don't know if you've been on one, John. I've done one for the draft one time. I've been on one for... I've created my own. I've been on another one as a listener. I listened yesterday to the one with John Wall. And it's actually pretty cool. You'll see it at the top of your Twitter app if you have it on the phone, and you'll see a group of people. Like in this case, I think there's 170 people in there, and different people can talk. You can raise your hand. You can start talking. It's like a big conversation. And so I was just listening to what Rocket fans were saying about John Wall. And, you know, they cared a little bit more than we may have, for example. They really cared about him. They liked John Wall when he played. Not John Wall was okay when he played. He wasn't bad. It's just you can't get me excited about somebody who can't play any back-to-back games, who can't even play, you know, 70% of the schedule, and then who sits out an entire second year, who's already an aging player with multiple years of injury. I just can't romanticize him, and I can't look at him with any kind of longing, loving eyes at anything he did. I don't care. I don't care about John Wall. John Wall's not a Houston Rocket, and John Wall, frankly, was never really a Houston Rocket, in my opinion.
You gave him all that money. It started with Harden. You had to get rid of Harden, so you got rid of that money. You got Russell Westbrook, so you had to get rid of that money. You got John Wall. He just was the beneficiary. He had his money. The Wizards would have paid him, had to pay him off. The Rockets would have had paid Harden off. Oklahoma City would have had to pay Russell Westbrook off. And listen, it's just that it just changed hands. That's all. You just had to pay him off. Did he do anything here? Absolutely not. Did nothing. And, oh, by the way, wouldn't even come off the bench for a team. I mean, because he didn't want to hurt his reputation as a starter in the league.
You know,
his ego wouldn't allow him when he was making $44 million a year.
So they said it was the Rockets and it was a mutual decision. I don't know. The Rockets may be playing nice by allowing that to be.
No, I know for a fact he wouldn't come off the bench.
Yeah, so the narrative that is out there is that, well, it was both of us. It was the Rockets and it was John Wall. It wasn't just John Wall. It was both. It was a mutual decision. That's the friendly way of putting it out. What did you hear from people that would definitely know?
What do you mean? What did I hear? I told you. He wouldn't go in the game. He said, I'm not coming off the bench. So they said, just go sit then. Then that's all. Just go sit. Now, they did save $6.5 million. Okay.
Well, they finally bought him.
And that's what they were waiting for. They weren't going to give him the whole 47. There's no way we're giving you the whole $47 million. So that's the mid-level exception that he can get somewhere else.
They gave him a 40.9. Yeah. He's going to get mid-level exception.
He's going to get mid-level exception. So
$40.9 million. Probably get his full contract.
Probably the Clippers. He's probably going to go to the Clippers.
He's already said he's going to Clippers. He's going to the Clippers. Okay.
So that's fine. Go. You know what? You were going to eat that money anyway. You saved, you know how many steaks Tillman has to sell to say for $6.5 million? I mean, he was Tillman's dancing today.
Yeah,
yay.
But you say he saved that, but he also did have to pay 40.9 for a guy. I mean, he will have paid the sleeping bag. This is first of all, it's one of the highest payouts in the history, single season high. I think it's the single season highest payout in NBA history. And the NBA league is going to, they're really going to look into this because guys not playing and getting paid. John Wall is going to be paid. Deshaun Watson was paid $27 million signing bonus and never played under that contract for the Texans. John Wall will have been paid in the neighborhood of $90 million to not play for the Rockets over a two-year. Well, no, I guess it would be closer to 80, 85, around $80 million to not play.
Million.
Not play for the Rockets for two full years. That's insane. Yeah. Dude, you just had to pay damn near 100. You're closer to 100 million than 50 million to not even play basketball for two full years for you. Granted, he'll play for the Clippers this year, but that's like the league knows they have a massive, massive problem. And but as far as I'm concerned, yeah, you're right. You cut the cancer out and let's move forward now. John Wall, maybe he does well for somebody else. That's irrelevant to me. I really don't care. I don't care what happens with Christian Wood. I don't care what happens with John Wall. I don't care about any of those dudes. You want to deal KJ Martin, deal KJ Martin. I just know you got some young core guys that, frankly, is building excitement for me. I'm excited about what Rockets are going to come. For me, they have officially turned the corner, and this is the new Houston Rockets. The James stuff is dead. It's over. You're on to a new. Last year was brutal. You were last place. Only at the end of the year, when you're continuing to lose games, by the way, did you have that ray of light when when you had, you know, Jalen Green was really good over the last 6 weeks, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. Now, however, when you add everything up, Jabari Smith and Jalen Green, you got free agency starting up on Thursday. Like, man, I'm telling you, you got draft picks coming up. Now, Kyrie Irving opted into his contract because no one wanted him on the market. They couldn't find a sign-and-trade deal, so he opted in, unfortunately. And the Nets are going to be better with Kyrie than without him. So
that's a problem. But know, we'll talk about that. Let's talk about that on the other side. That's a problem. It's 757 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Why don't you talk about Paul Miller first?
Man, that's my guy at Jack's Grill and Union Kitchen. Actually, let me hit on Union Kitchen because I had someone reach out yesterday about having the lobster mac and cheese, the lobster grilled cheese at the brunch. And they were like, wow, man, that was awesome. I love that. Yeah, that's the kind of things that they're doing. They've got that on the menu. They've got the lobster omelets. They have different types of Eggs Benedict, a lot of different types, including the crab cake Eggs Benedict. They've got lighter fare for you if you're looking for that. They've got this amazing chicken dish, which is one of my favorites. It's a pesto chicken dish that's pan sauteed with like a lemon garlic butter, and it's got the mushrooms and the sun-dried tomatoes and artichoke hearts. It's awesome. It's one of my favorites. It used to be at a restaurant that was right down Bel Air, and they took the recipe and they kept it at Union Kitchen. I've been so excited about that. There's going to be something for everyone, whether you're stopping into Union Kitchen for a great lunch with your burgers or a wide variety of salads or interesting types of Tex-Mex fare. There's a big, vivacious menu full of food that's going to hit every type of palate. And for your brunch, I'm telling you, you're going to love their brunch. The churro cinnamon holes, the donut holes, the churros they have, the different waffles, the wide variety of items that your kids are going to love. There's something for everyone, including mimosas for you. Make sure that you make that brunch a reality on Sunday, and I think it's going to be something that you and your family go to a lot, and that's the Union Kitchen, and that's that brunch. Make sure you check out one of the 6 locations, the Union Kitchen, right here in Houston.
ESPN 97.5.